This is News the Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. On today's roundtable, old and new media are struggling, especially the black press, while the Reverend Al Sharpton struggles with the rapid rise of Barack Obama. Joining us on our panel are Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, Chicago Sun-Times columnist Laura Washington, and Yvonne Bino, author of the book Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. So thanks, everybody, for being with us. And let's go straight to the future. Always a good topic. The future of media. So the Project for Excellence in Journalism released its State of the Media report recently. And it seems that television news is losing audience. Newspapers are struggling. The internet is experiencing stalled growth. That's all bad news. But the ethnic news media is actually maintaining its audience, although the black press seems to be struggling. And I should say here what people are referring to with ethnic media is generally non-English language press. And the black media is generally in English. So one part of that is being behind the curve and going online for the black press. So really, what's going on here, Yvonne? What do you think in terms of there are non-English language presses in Haitian Creole, in Chinese, Korean, a multitude of languages, of course, Spanish being the dominant one. They're thriving, but the black press seems to be struggling in part because of a lack of online access.
Well, that's true, but I think in some respects it's also about quality. I certainly view a lot of newspapers from across the country, a lot of them black publications, and a lot of times, unfortunately, the news is old. There are even, you know, typos, repeated typos, grammatical errors. And it's not a broad span of information. So, I mean, certainly if you're looking at something in a particular city, you would expect to find information that is specific to that city. But a lot of time you're missing out on broader stories that are being covered by the quote-unquote mainstream press. So I think that that, to a large extent, along with the lack of online access, is not helping them to hold on to an audience or even broaden it, that there has to be more offerings, it has to be more up-to-date coverage, and also has to have more diversity of opinion. A lot of the publications, you pretty much know what is going to be said before you open up the paper. You know what the column X is going to say. There's never any surprise to it. And to some extent, you know, we can talk about objectivity. That's certainly a legitimate conversation, but you don't want to keep covering the same thing the same way year after year. And unfortunately, for some of the smaller papers and even a couple of the larger papers, that's what you see. You know each year what you can look at a calendar and know exactly what they're going to be, what's going to be in the paper.
Let me bring Michael into this. Michael, you were not always a fan of black institutions, whether they be civil rights institutions, colleges, etc. Do you think that there is a role for the black press now? And if so, does it really need to advance on the online front?
Well, that's a pejorative way of introducing my point of view, and it is not accurate. But let me address the
question. Well, then refresh me, baby.
Let me address the question of the news media. Ethnic media, particularly ones that are non-English, have a niche. They have a built-in audience, and they're not yet in a mainstream of news media. Blacks, as Yvonne has suggested, black newspapers, black journalism, used to be a crusading toward journalism to bring blacks into the mainstream of society in terms of making sure the mainstream understood, quote-unquote, black issues, the issues of blacks in terms of discrimination, in terms of how it is possible and how it should be achieved to get us into the mainstream. Now it is just black media. It's just that it's more like you have in terms of the majority culture. It's infotainment, it's astrology, it's horoscopes, it's gossip, it's all...
You know, Mercury was just in retrograde, Michael. Anyway, we'll move ahead.
She's reading her black press.
It's superstition. It's all of that. And it's very difficult for an educated person to, quote-unquote, read black newspapers. And then you have the major media that's buying up black media because black media appeals to white emotional needs for buffoonery.
That's what I was talking about with your whole issues with the black institutions. So correct me. Go back and correct me about what I
no,
was talking
about. No, my problem is not just with black media. My problem is with the news media. It's with the major media, because I think the major media is biased, it's slanted, it's condescending, it's paternalistic, it's dumbed down. It's no wonder to me that they're losing readers in terms of newspapers, losing money. They have reduced coverage. They have shorter stories. They focus on color and pictures and graphs. They have this negative attitude towards the readers and towards the public at large. And therefore, everything now is infotainment. CBS News is slick and dumbed down. Every news program now is a Today Show at night. It's just awful.
Laura.
The media is awful. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. I think in terms of the black press, I think that Michael's right. The crusading culture of the black press has disappeared. And that's unfortunate, because that was a place where you could see stories that mattered to African-Americans that you didn't see anywhere else. I still think that there are plenty of stories like that out there. I think that the problem for the black media is that the resources are just not there. The reason that they rely on wire service and rely on packaged horoscope type stuff is that it's cheaper. It doesn't require human beings to produce, but it's completely irrelevant. But that's because they've lost their readership. They've lost advertisers to a large extent. The advertisers find they can reach the black audiences they want to reach through the mainstream media. They don't need those niches any longer. But even more important, and Farai, you brought it up earlier, is the whole digital problem, the whole growing digital gap between the bloggers and black media. We are just not, our black media is just not online. Our readers are not online as they should be. There's this huge gap, I think, among bloggers on the internet, where the internet is seen still, I think, as a bastion for white male elites, as opposed to, you know, people of other cultures and people of other economic strata. And I think that that gap is growing, and that's something that we need to be concerned about. And it goes beyond the future of black media. I think it goes to the basic issue of who's going to be telling our stories.
Well, I have to say, as someone who is started my first blog back in 95 and has been online even longer than that, that there are some great black blogs, and we will be hearing more about some of the issues concerning black bloggers and the information flow later. But I want to reintroduce everybody first. So if you are just tuning in to NPR's News and Notes, I'm Farai Chidea. We were just speaking with Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, also Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, and Yvonne Bino, author of the book Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. So speaking of political activism, Al Sharpton throwing down with Barack. So the Reverend Al Sharpton is campaigning big time against Illinois Senator Barack Obama. The New York Post points to jealousy as the basis for the beef, a hip-hop term. Reverend Sharpton for months now has been dogging the senator for not having ties to the community, and it's rumored that the Reverend wanted to run again for president, but it seems with all of the attention that the senator is getting, the Reverend doesn't have much of a chance. So, Yvonne, this is very much in your territory. I wouldn't call Barack Obama exactly a hip-hopper, but he is closer to that hip-hop generation. What is really going on here?
Well, it's funny. I wrote about this several weeks ago, and you're right. Barack Obama, he's 45, so he's a little older than what we would normally talk about in terms of hip-hop generation. That's normally between 18 and 40, but he certainly has the spirit. I think what we're looking at is a changing of the guard. We have seen in the past that the leadership of in Black America, so to speak, has looked a particular way. There have been a preponderance of ministers. There are people who come out of community organizing, the civil rights movement, and so forth. But as we move forward, you're going to see, to some extent, a new face. And some of that is represented by people like Barack Obama. We have Adrian Fenty here, D.C.'s mayor. You have Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. These are younger guys. These are, in many instances, Ivy League educated guys. These are they are the promise of the civil rights generation. They are what the fight was about, for them to have access to higher education, to live in the communities that their families chose. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the manifestation. I think there is going to be some tension, but I don't think that one cancels out the other. I think there will always be room for people like Al Sharpton, the outside agitators, the community organizers. But I also think we have to open the door for these newer faces. I'm not suggesting that one model is better than the other one, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. And I think that we should, rather than tear down Barack Obama because he does not look like a prior model, we should be looking at what does he have to offer and make those determinations accordingly.
Let me make it clear that Al Sharpton is not the typical black or civil rights leader. The civil rights leaders have had higher education. Some of them have come from Ivy League institutions, been major lawyers, PhDs, Martin Luther King Jr. Had a doctorate. So Al Sharpton is not typical as a civil rights or black leader as a high school graduate. The difference between Barack Obama and Al Sharpton's candidacies is this. Obama is running for president, and he has won an elected office. Al Sharpton runs toward the TV cameras and has never won any office except the office of black leader, to which the mostly white knee-jerk media have installed him, because he meets their emotional needs for a quotable black buffoon. You know, it's interesting that Wayne Barrett's expose in The Village Voice on who financed the last Al Sharpton presidential campaign, he discovered that GOP operatives financed it in large part. Quite interesting. So it's not just Obama, according to Al Sharpton, whose candidacy is, is quote-unquote driven by whites. It's ridiculous.
But Michael, what you're saying
could
is
I just jump in for 1 second? Buffoon is a large charge, and I just want to point that out.
Charge? It's accurate.
Okay. Well, Laura, I want you to comment on that as well as because I think that one thing that strikes me is that there are, as Yvonne has pointed out, many different models of black leadership, from completely outside of the political system to completely within it. And so anyway, continue. I just had to make that point.
Well, I think the whole issue of buffoonery, which Michael has honed to a fine art, I think it strikes me as being very personal. And I think in that Washington and that New York Post piece, I think was very personal. It was about he's pissed off, about how he's jealous, about which I think is all that, whether that's true or not. And it's all, the story was completely unsourced. So, and it was, a lot of that stuff was coming from the Hillary Clinton campaign, so to speak. I think the real issue here is the credibility that Obama has as a national presidential candidate. Al Sharpton ran for president, Reverend Jesse Jackson ran for president, and not to take anything away from their runs, but they were never taken seriously as viable presidential candidates. That's the difference here. Barack Obama is being taken seriously. He should be taken seriously. He has a base that stretches way beyond the African-American community. He is not perceived, at least for the time being, as being captive to a singular black agenda, as in particular Al Sharpton was. He's not perceived as being a captive to the black radical fringe, and whether that makes him acceptable to an Al Sharpton, it does make him acceptable to a wide range of voters across this country. And I think that's what makes the Al Sharptons of the world very nervous. He does not have to kowtow to them.
Obama is a threat to the cachet that Al Sharpton imagines he has in terms of
what cachet is that?
The imagine he has the cachet of delivering black votes. I mean,
well,
he's never been able to do that.
And you know that from the last.
Oh, well, I know
last
that,
campaign,
but the whites
Michael.
Don't know that. The Clintons and the other white people who run
too.
For office, they make their trek to Harlem to kiss Al Sharpton's ring, if not his butt, in order to pander to the black electorate and the black voters, because they perceive Al Sharpton as this grassroots black.
I think that's something Yvonne is worried about.
I think one of the points that Michael brought up that I thought was interesting is certainly when we go back and look at the history of the civil rights leaders, he is definitely correct. There have been very well-educated leaders. But I think what we're seeing a difference is in the past there was a whether conscious or unconscious, effort to kind of tone that down, to be one of the masses, to not make that a distinction as a way to forge a schism between Black Americans. It was important that everybody be on the same page. And I'm seeing at this point in time, I think there's less of an effort to paper over those class divides too. So I think that people are having to get more comfortable with seeing Black people who are upper and middle class Blacks who are well educated. I think there's less of an effort and less of an interest, frankly, from younger Blacks to have that dialogue, that certainly there are issues that need to be discussed and we can have those issues, but I am who I am and this is my background, accept that, and I will accept where you are. And I think that some of the older members, they're having a problem with that. And I think, again, that's the tension that we're seeing, that they are still holding on to an old model that exists, but it does not exist for everyone.
But is it really, can I just jump in? Again, is this really just an old model, or is it that there are cycles? Because W.E.B. Du Bois was, you know, a Black graduate of Harvard, and then you proceeded into a more grassroots phase of Black leadership. Is this not part of a cycle?
I don't know what you mean by grassroots, because, again, except with the exception of Al Sharpton, civil rights leaderships have had higher education. Leaders have had higher education. Some of them with PhDs. We have to get beyond the stereotype. We have to get beyond Black people as stereotype, either as a hip-hop generation or as ministers or as buffoons or as minstrels or as Russell Simmons. We've got to get beyond the stereotype. Black people come in all kinds of religions, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of educational levels, all kinds of communities. Being Black ain't what it used to be.
Well,
and,
I think that's
and
that's
Black
the whole
is never
point.
Be
it never
and
has
being
been.
Black is
yeah.
never enough.
It never has
but,
been.
But I think I think what we're seeing, though, in terms, I think Farai's question is interesting from the standpoint, I don't know that it's a cycle. I think as we move forward, we're going to see more and more. Certainly, we had the W.E.B. Du Bois. We've always had educated Black people. But when you talk about leadership, again, I think just by the time and the progression, you're going to see more and more. More and more of us have advanced degrees. More and more of us are solidly middle class and upper middle class. So I think there is going to be a push, and I'm not sure that we're going to go back necessarily to the models of the earlier time. Yes,
I'm going to have to wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Vernon
well,
Jordan,
that's
Thurgood Marshall, Charles Hamilton.
Okay.
Houston,
yeah. All right, Michael. Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition at our New York bureau. Yvonne Bino, author of the book Stand and Deliver at NPR HQ in Washington, D.C. Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, WLRN in Miami. Thank you all for a spirited discussion.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you can call us with your input, 202-408-3330, or go to npr.org and click on Contact Us. Coming up next, more on for-profit colleges, the first female basketball coach at a Brooklyn high school, and a new spin on the supernatural.